We love the 1980s wrestling era when kayfabe was king and wrestling did whatever it took to protect the business. When all the territories dealt with the rise of the WWF and the NWA emerged as its greatest challenger. Imagine if there were an epic drama series based on that era, combining the corporate warfare and the family drama of Succession with the giant cast and epic storytelling of Game of Thrones. That day has come. Kings of the Ring is the first audio drama podcast based on wrestling.
Go back to your trailer, you hillbilly.
It's a fiction series about the 1980s wrestling wars and the sex, drugs, and muscles lifestyle of the 80s wrestler and the sacrifices they make for success. With guest voice acting appearances by Lainey Poffo.
I even have a good dropkick.
And AEW's RJ City.
I didn't really have that much to do.
Search Kings of the Ring from any podcast app or kingsotr.com and binge away.
College football fans, are you ready for week one? DraftKings Sportsbook is hooking you up with a can't-miss offer to start the season strong. This week, new customers can bet just $5 on college football and score $200 in bonus bets instantly. Anything can happen in college football. That's right. Your team could go from unranked to dynasty mode in just a couple of years. Change comes fast. The only thing that's a lock is great offers from the DraftKings Sportsbook. Life's more fun when you're in on the action. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use the code TASKMASTER, all lowercase. New customers can score $200 in bonus bets instantly when they bet just $5 on college football. Only DraftKings Sportsbook is the way to go, and use that promo code TASKMASTER, then the crown is yours. That's right. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app today and use that promo code TASKMASTER. Own it, live it, win the crown. Hello and welcome. I am your host, JP John Possum, the two-man power trip. Of course, joining me, the one and only former WCW tag team champion, former ECW tag team champion, one of the greatest minds at bookers ever in the history of the business, the games master, the taskmaster, the devil himself, Mr. Kevin Sullivan. Kevin, how are you doing today, sir?
Good, JP. I'm doing well.
Now, it's just crazy. Like, the wrestling world right now, it's like the Vince stuff, right? The Vince McMahon, Janelle Grant, the Johnny A stuff was crazy, crazy, crazy. Then all of a sudden, The Rock hits the headlines, and that took over the headlines for a while. Have you noticed a lot of talk this year for WrestleMania? Maybe a lot more in years past.
Yeah, I absolutely think so. By this time, you know what the matches are, usually, right?
Yep.
Everything's skewed right now. So, we still don't know what The Rock is doing. We don't know what the matches are yet, which is pretty amazing.
Yep.
Because I heard they sold 10,000 tickets from Wednesday to Friday, which is unheard of, selling tickets like that in the middle of the week.
Doing really good. Obviously, both nights of Mania will be sold out. I know the Elimination Chamber in Australia, I believe it had 43,000 tickets out of the 45 that are available. They opened it up to 49, so they're opening up that as well. Nothing big has been announced really for that show except for who will face Seth Rollins at Mania in an Elimination Chamber match, and then Rollins and Cody have a talking segment. So nothing really like big. It's almost like a little bit of a throwaway show that they're putting out there in Australia.
I think just them coming back to Australia would sell out. Right now, they're so hot.
That's what they're relying on, right? Just being hot?
Yeah, yeah. And just how long has it been since they've been to Australia? 8 years?
It's been a while, yeah. Yep.
So they're going to sell out no matter what they do.
Now, booking-wise, obviously, you're one of the greatest bookers of all time. Do you like not having the, you know, Mania is, what, 50 days away? Do you like not having the matches kind of set in stone? I know they keep saying it's Roman versus Cody, but it doesn't seem like that's set in stone. To, you know, for me as a fan, just looking at it, it seems like Rock's got to be involved somehow. Do you like going about it that way, or do you like having, hey, it's Hogan Sting, it's going to be Hogan Sting, and you know, you're going to tell people that much longer in advance? Or do you like this kind of fly by the hip, like, we don't know what the match is going to be?
They know what the matches are. They know.
But from a fan perspective, shouldn't, as the booker, you tell us what the matches are, or no?
Well, it's something that everybody's talking about, right?
Yep.
So it's obviously working. And you got people really interested in all these theories, what's going to happen. Do you know what I mean? What's Rock going to do? What's Seth going to do? Cody? There's so many things they could do. They're playing Clue. It's Colonel Mustard in the library with the candlestick.
Yep.
And it took a lot of balls to do that because of the negativity they got on Vince's stuff, right?
Yep.
And then coming back, and I think, you know, the signs you see, hashtag we want Cody. They're too well printed out. They're making those signs up and giving it to the people.
That's what Meltzer had said too, that that's what he thought. He didn't get confirmation for it, but he kind of thought that as well.
Yeah, they're playing into it. I mean, I could see that. I mean, nobody's going to print the exact same sign when they live 50 miles away from one another. You know what I mean? And really neat. And just in the same color pen, it's just they're really leaning into this. They didn't think they were going to get that, but I think some of it is made from WWE. I think they're piping in some stuff too.
Oh, piping in the noise, like we want Cody chants or whatever.
Yeah.
They're really trying to get this Cody guy over, it seems like. Although he is pretty over anyway, but I mean, so you're saying that it seems like they're trying to get him to that next level.
Well, I got a question. Cody finishes the story, right?
Yep.
Who does he wrestle?
Good question. You got to go big, right? It's got to be big after that.
Who?
Nobody left. Orton, maybe?
Who? I mean, I said about The Rock. Emmanuel knows who The Rock is because he's been tied up in entertainment business, right?
Yep.
Cody's a great star, but he's not The Rock. Do you think it's possible that Cody won't finish this story?
Good question. If they want to keep the belt on Roman even longer, that would be crazy. The fans, I think these fans will go nuts, but I would kind of like it because it's a bit of a swerve.
What if Seth was the guy that did it?
Cost him the title?
Yeah.
Definitely possible. I don't trust him. I don't trust what he's saying to Cody, that's for sure.
Well, it's what I said to you before. Last year, oh, Cody's going to win. No, he doesn't. There's wrestling, there's wrestling storyline, then there's wrestling financial business. These guys want to make a statement. This TKO, they want to make a statement. They got a lot of shit to overcome. They were on cloud nine. Their stocks had a big jump when they signed everything. When The Rock came over, the stocks jumped. Now they've had a kind of a buy-off, and they're going to make this thing work. That's my contention is, who does Cody wrestle? Is he going to draw as well as Roman has drawn?
Probably not. Hard to do that.
Okay. Are we doing this because we want to feel good for the night?
Pretty much. It's what it seems like.
So, I don't know why the story has to be finished now.
It is interesting that he won the Rumble, right? And you figure, okay, he basically said, oh, The Rock can have the shot. So it was kind of confusing. But now, to me, it's less confusing because it just seemed like The Rock kind of tricked him. Then he says he's fighting Roman instead. Then Cody comes out and he says, oh, this is bullshit. So it's like after he realized The Rock tricked him, he kind of realized it, which means The Rock, who showed the big bloodline thing with all the members of the family, all the Samoans and the heritage, he basically was saying we're the biggest in the family in the world. Then he slaps Cody. Just seemed like this was all and maybe WWE didn't do it on purpose and they kind of leaning into the Cody stuff. But it just to me seems like this was a part of the plan that The Rock was going to be a heel, or do you think that's not wasn't always a part of the plan?
This has been planned out. They have. No. You know, when Rock said he likes to plan out. What are his exact words? He likes to plan everything out. He likes to build
and take you on a ride. Yep.
Yeah. This is what's going on, I think.
And the Cody crybabies, which he coined that phrase. Do you like that? The Cody crybabies.
Well, he's going to make millions of dollars on t-shirts. He just, got that out. He owns that. You saw that, right?
Yep. Yep. It is so interesting that, like, this is going on because everyone was saying, oh, the bloodline's kind of dying down. Now The Rock left the building with Roman. So it seems like the bloodline's stronger than ever. If Rock, Roman, Solo, and Jimmy are together, I mean, it's like the best version of the bloodline.
Do you think we could see Sammy involved in something?
Sami Zayn, no. I think that ship has sailed. Seems like he's feuding with Nakamura right now.
Oh, yeah.
But with Rock, and I know Bully Ray had mentioned, other people mentioned this online, that he stood in front of Roman and kind of big brothered him at the press conference. I think that's all a part of the setup between those two not getting along, don't you? And not being able to coexist?
No, it was The Rock being the head of the table. That simple.
to create tension with Roman, though, right? Because Roman thinks he's the head of the table.
Yeah, but who did all the talking?
Rocky.
Yeah. I mean, you're not going to get over the Rock. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And just Roman's presence, his, you know, body language, he gave it up to the Rock.
And if you noticed on that tree, that Samoan bloodline, the dynasty tree, it did say High Chief under Rock's name, by the way. I don't know if you noticed that or not. I didn't know he was the High Chief. Or does he think he's the High Chief? But I didn't know he was one.
I think he wouldn't do something that stupid. He'd get a lot of heat with the Samoans if he is the High Chief. I think he is. After the tsunami hit Samoa 10 years ago, remember that?
Yep.
He put all that money back into Samoa. Yep. I think he made him a High Chief then.
But I feel like Roman is going to be like, wait a second here. You know what I mean? Like, that's going to add friction, too, because he's going to look at that tree and be like, wait a second. What is going on here? This guy thinks he's the head of the table. He's big brothering me. He's talking over me. He's saying, hey, watch out. I got this. He slapped Cody. You know what I mean? He just seems like it's going to lead to Roman and Rock having some sort of issue, which is, I think, where the big money is.
Yeah, I think I just don't see that we're not going to see the Rock and Roman. Maybe way off, but they gave him $30 million and put his ass on the table, give his name back. Come on.
Yep.
Get out there and wrestle.
Yep.
And
could
this,
be a three-way. Who knows?
And this is, think about this. Who's in charge right now? Is it the guy that they just put on the head of the table in charge of the WWE?
Meaning The Rock with TKO being on the board of directors?
Yeah, who's in charge of that?
Well, it does seem like he has more power than Triple H.
Well, does Triple H have any connections to Vince McMahon?
Oh, yeah. But if you look at the power structure, Triple H is listed as, I know he's CEO of WWE, but to TKO, he's an employee of TKO. The Rock is the board member of TKO.
Right.
So he's like his boss, basically.
That's what I said. He's the number one guy.
Him and his longtime close personal friend, Nick Khan. Which is another interesting little wrinkle in the power structure that is WWE.
Right, right.
And The Rock, by the way, recently said in an interview to Cody Rhodes, he said, you have no idea what's coming next. So he's up to something. He's got something brewing there, which is awesome.
Yeah, I mean, I believe he's pulling the strings right now.
The High Chief. I believe he is as well. Could be Rock versus Roman versus Cody in a three-way at Mania. If you know, if they want to put The Rock in that match. Could be, right?
Yeah, I mean, he's not going to wrestle. I mean, they're not going to make him a special referee, I don't think. I mean, the prestige of having The Rock isn't seeing him in a referee shirt.
And to me, to be honest, Seth Rollins, I know that all four of them were out at that press conference. He doesn't really fit in that picture. He just doesn't seem like he has the charisma to hang with those three, or it just seems like he's a bit, I don't know if it's the gimmick or what, but he just seems a bit out of place when he's in with those three guys.
I think that's done on purpose. That he's off to the side.
Yep.
He looks like an afterthought. They're smarter for that. I wouldn't out if he was involved in the finish and if they're going to screw Cody.
Ooh, good point. Look at you. Yeah. Yep. Could be. Yeah. And he keeps laying the groundwork that he's going to help Cody. So it could be all a swerve on Cody. Yeah, for sure. Did you like Roman saying that Seth gets no pop and that he wears his wife's shoes? Did you like that?
Yeah, and that's just, again, building up that Seth could be the guy that screws Cody.
Yep. He did beat him in his debut or re-debut at Mania a few years ago. Remember, Rhodes beat Seth? Seth wants revenge, yeah. Maybe.
There's so many stories they could tell. He's got more reaction, and he's the world champion. Cody's got more reaction than he does.
Jealous.
He's jealous. Jealous of what Roman said is true with The Rock. He's an afterthought. Yeah. I could see him be involved in the finish.
So we go from some good stuff to some really bad stuff that happened. And of course, talking about Billy Jack Haynes murdered his wife, shot her, had a bit of a police standoff as well. Man, were you shocked when you heard this? And, you know, talk about making headlines. I mean, this was crazy out of nowhere. It's like, oh my God, Billy Jack Haynes murdered his wife. What the hell is going on?
Yeah, of course I was shocked. Yeah. But, I mean, they didn't come out right and say that he killed her at first, right? Isn't he, they come out and say he was a person of interest?
Yes.
You know, that's a little strange to me. And didn't she have dementia?
Yes.
Until we know what the story is, it's kind of hard to judge what happened, don't you think?
For sure. Yep.
Yeah.
But obviously, yeah. He's arrested after the police standoff, but yeah.
Right, right.
Very interesting, though. Before he became a wrestler, he had, or maybe just rumored, but I remember hearing that he had manslaughter charges against him. This is before wrestling. So, there could be a history there with Billy Jack that we don't know about.
Right, really. I didn't know that he had manslaughter charges?
Before wrestling, yep.
Huh. Do you know anything about it? I mean,
no, just those are like strong rumors, and he kind of just never really talked about it, but those were always rumors before wrestling. But he did talk about how he had kind of a little bit of a life of crime, dealing with drugs and different types of things. So, and at one point he even mentioned kind of being a hitman. So obviously if he's kind of talking about that just in generalities, obviously that means he's definitely, or at least alluded to maybe killing some people in his past. So he seems like perhaps a dangerous individual.
Yeah, I think he was a dangerous individual. I mean, he had a hairline. Because I saw some of the stuff he talked about, right, on the shoot interviews.
Yep.
He wanted to fight Stone Cold, right? You know, it made up, well, in his mind, they might have been real, but Stone Cold, because he got Piper fired, supposedly, that's on Billy's thing, that's the reason why Piper died. I mean, his interviews sounded a little strange to me. To you? How'd they sound? Yeah.
Yeah, big time. Yeah, he would say some wacky stuff. Remember he said he was Vince McMahon's brother? Do you remember that one?
Yeah. Yeah. And then that he was with the Clintons.
Yep.
When they killed the boys on the tracks, right?
Yep.
I mean, a lot of strange stuff. Yeah, I forgot about the being Vince's brother.
So great, but a different mothers or whatever he was saying, but he's saying he's Vince's brother. And that's why Vince hates him, because Vince didn't want to admit that he was his brother. Like wacky stuff.
Yeah.
And do you remember that guy Kairos, the lawyer? He had the big concussion lawsuit with Demolition, all those guys. The lead guy on that case, when you looked at the thing, was Billy Jack Haynes. That was possibly the worst idea, to put him as like the top, don't you think? Because all that stuff he's saying, people would automatically be like, wait a second, you're not Vince's brother. Wait a second, you never were with the Clintons. You know, all that kind of stuff kind of almost worked against the case.
Yeah. To me, it's just very strange. You're going to sue for concussions. I mean, you would think that if anybody had the right to sue for concussions, it's the NFL. You know what I mean? Because it's legit.
Yes. And they knew it, and they hit it, yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, if you're doing these flips out of the ring and you're landing on your head, did they make you do that? Or did you come up with that spot?
Right, exactly.
Yeah. So,
when you look at like Billy Jack and just think like, okay, this guy, you know, maybe could be a little crazy. Do you think at all he was working a gimmick though? Because that got him, no, you don't think so. Okay. Because it seemed like that got him a lot of popularity.
Yeah, but negative popularity, negative stuff, you know, people were laughing about it, don't you think? Like you were chuckling about being Vince's brother and the Clintons and.
But it just seemed like with Billy, he was just like crazy that he kind of never stopped with the wackiness. So just, I guess, in his nature to just, you know, talk crazy stuff.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, didn't he say something that he was sexually molested as a kid?
Yep.
And then he was beat up and almost killed when he was sleeping in his van?
Yep.
I mean, there's some strange shit there, right?
Yeah, definitely. And supposedly now, even now, he has some sort of medical condition going on. They didn't say if it was a mental thing or what, but that he was in police custody, but they were treating him for something else as well.
Really?
Yeah, because I know he had liver and kidney issues, but I'm not sure if that was what they're talking about now or if it was some sort of mental health thing going on with him.
I know that he really, I think he was really a guy delivering drugs. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like a drug mule, basically, drug runner.
Yeah. Because back in the day, right, if you follow Billy's history, he'd come in places and then only stay for a while. He'd be on top.
So was he delivering drugs for the promoters of the wrestling business? Or you think just in general, whoever he was working for?
Yeah, I mean, I don't see any wrestling promoters being into drug cartels, you know what I mean?
Yep.
I can't buy any of that. Now, did some wrestling promoters do them? I have no idea what I'm talking about right now, but hey, if you were in the West Coast back in the day, yes, they probably did them, right?
Yep.
But he might have worked for a cartel. I can see that because he came to Florida and then he left. He went to the Carolinas and then he left and he had good spots. Then he was Von Erich was like a substitute in the family, right? And he left. And he was going through from driving from this area of the country, the Pacific Northwest, through wherever, you know?
The thing is, too, it's like you never quite understood like what he was doing or where he was going. But in some of the shooting interviews, like we're saying, he's kind of intimating or incriminating himself, saying, yeah, I did this and I sold drugs and I did this and I was there for the boys on the track, which it, apparently somebody was saying that he wasn't around during that time period. He was on the other side of the country. So, I mean, who knows if he's incriminating himself or not, or if he's just kind of just saying crazy, wacky things.
If there was a chance in hell that he was involved in all this shit that he talks about, he'd be sitting in a cell today. I mean, he said some really way out shit. Right? Here's the best one you brought up, and I forgot about it. He's Vince's brother. That says it all to me.
Yeah. Wacky. When he actually starts in the business, he's actually trained by Stu Hart. So he gets his start, you know, in the dungeon and for Stampede Wrestling. So pretty amazing just to think like, okay, this crazy guy, you know, oh, God, where did he train, right? Like, what kind of backwoods? No, he got trained by arguably the greatest trainer of all time, Stu Hart, in the dungeon.
How did he end up there, I wonder?
Yeah, because he wasn't young. He was like 28 or something. So he wasn't young when he started.
Yeah, but I mean, I wonder how he ended up with Stu. He was from Portland, right?
Yep.
How did he end up with Stu?
Interesting. Yeah, I'm not sure, because you would think he would be trained by Don Owen or, you know, somebody from Portland. But no, he was trained by Stu. So he ended up there. Who knows? Maybe he was doing something nefarious up there. Who knows? Or maybe he was trying to get away from the law.
That's something else, too, that I thought about when you said the manslaughter.
Yep.
How did he get into Canada to wrestle?
I don't know. Maybe that's even made up. Maybe because he's trying to sound.
Of course it is.
Yeah.
You can't get into Canada if you have a DUI. I have a friend that bought a 4 months ago, was going up to Victoria Island, Vancouver Island, and going to Victoria. It's only a 75 mile from this island to the border.
Hmm.
If you get on the highway, it's a lot closer by boat, but they turned them away. Because he had a DUI when he was like 17 years old.
Wow. Yeah, so I'm not sure if he's, you know, just making stuff up like normal. But when he does come back, though, he does end up in the Pacific Northwest after the Stampede and after Stu. Because back takes up the name Billy Jack. But, of course, Tom Laughlin in that movie, Billy Jack, were having a problem with it, kind of threatened to sue him. So, basically, he does stay Billy Jack for a while. But then, of course, he changes it to Billy Jack Haynes, which is his real last name, just so it's not so much of a copy off of that movie, which I guess was intended to be a copy off of that movie by using that name. Do you like that, taking stuff from movies? I know sometimes it works.
Well, to me, that's a little cheesy, but that's just me. But Hogan used Eye of the Tiger, right?
Oh, yeah.
So I guess there's times it works and times it doesn't.
He became a pretty big star in Portland and the Pacific Northwest. Obviously, a huge feud with Rip Oliver. It's one of those things where people were definitely taking notice. He looks like $1 million. I mean, he's a big dude. Probably, I don't know, I'd say 6'3", 6'4". He's pretty tall, but he was huge. He's probably 275. I mean, he was a pretty jacked guy, maybe a little less than that, but still, big dude, taking notice. When did you guys start taking notice? Because in 84, he does head down to Championship Wrestling from Florida.
Yeah, that's when I first saw him. I saw pictures of him before he came in, but when he came in, that's when I first saw him. And they built the TV around him. Him coming in, right?
Yep.
And he was late for TV and didn't get there till the next day. And the announcer says, Billy Jack is coming today. Billy Jack is coming. We're going to hear from Billy Jack. And they fell into it like, you know, it turned out to be pretty cool. Do you know what I mean?
Yep.
But why was he late?
Who knows? Yeah, it's one of those things. He had the look. He, you know, it's decent in ring. He had the look. They're giving him a push, and then he guys late. He just mentally couldn't be where he needs to be.
Right, right.
So you wrestled him more than I thought when I was actually looking it up. At least 20 times you guys had matches. And, you know, you had Lights Out matches, Texas Tornado matches, Grudge matches, Handicap matches, NWA Florida Heavyweight Championship matches, Barroom Brawls, Texas Bull Rope matches, chain matches, Bunkhouse matches. You had a lot of different matches with him. So big time blood feud with Billy Jack. What was it like working with him?
He was terrific. He was terrific. I always started it. I was supposed to wrestle him in Tampa at a building that we were not normally in. We weren't in the Armory. And we were in this University of Tampa's gym. And somebody gave, he also claimed that he's part in Native American. And somebody had given him, when I went to the ring, he was already there. Someone had given him a statue like him in Indian Native American dress. And I snatched the statue and hit him over the head with it and exploded. And some, we were lucky they had a film crew there that night. We inserted in the TVs and we were off and running.
I love it. Did you think that he was going to be there for the long haul, or you knew his reputation of like, okay, he's going
to
be in and out?
Nobody knew his reputation back then. You know, he hadn't been in the business very long. I think we might have been the first territory he went to, right?
One of the first, yeah. A little bit of Portland, a little bit of Stampede, but you guys were kind of an extended stay for him for a little bit.
Yeah, but I mean, he trained in with Stu.
Yep.
Started in Portland and then came to us.
Yeah.
Nobody knew, it was like an enigma. Nobody knew what was going on.
Did you like him personally, like behind the scenes?
I didn't have much to do with him, and a lot of people didn't have much to do with him. He stayed by himself, basically.
A little bit of a recluse?
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, he drove to the towns by himself. He had a Corvette. And I never saw, you know what I mean? I never saw him out. I never saw him hanging with anybody. Just to himself, a loner.
When you look at it, and, you know, he's like, he's a loner and stuff, is it because babyface heels? You guys would never be seen together? I mean, kayfabe, or is it just you personality clash?
No, babyfaces and heels were in Florida were a complete no-no, but he didn't even hang with the babyfaces.
Gotcha.
You know?
Yep. Interesting, because when he goes to World Clash, right, he's only there for a little bit. When he leaves you guys, is it just time was up, like, and he's gone, or did he want to leave and he just disappeared kind of thing?
I think he wanted to leave. I think he went up there when Dusty knew he had the job. Dusty might have sent him up to Crockett, you know what I mean?
Yep.
And he didn't stay there long, though.
Because it's kind of fascinating that he goes to like Jim Crockett Promotions for a little bit and supposedly got in a bit of a physical altercation with Jim Crockett Jr. So it's like, I don't know. Is he kind of self-imploding? You know what I mean? Like he can't get along with the promoter. And did you ever hear that story?
Yeah, I heard that story. And he didn't get along with many guys either, because what do you mean by that? You know what I mean? He was always on edge. And now that I look back at it, wasn't he dealing cocaine, supposedly?
That's what he says. Yeah, he admitted to it, yeah.
Okay, so maybe he was using his own product. I don't know.
Could be. So he was in JCP. Obviously, he was in Portland a few times. He was actually in New Japan Pro Wrestling. Like I said, he was in Florida for a while. He was in Florida. But he definitely made a name for himself both territory-wise and internationally before heading to the World Wrestling Federation in 1986. Obviously, Vince saw something in him, saw money in him, saw that look, which seems like the prototypical Vince guy, right? Like that jacked up, kind of good-looking baby face that he could do something with. Like, he loves those big muscular dudes.
Yeah. I mean, he fit the profile that they were selling back then. You know, he was jacked to the max. And his work was solid. I got to give him that. Might not have been extensive, but it's certainly solid.
And he was basically, you know, kind of one of those guys that had a ton of victories, not undefeated, but almost undefeated in the WWF when he first starts out in 86 for months, loses to Harley Race in the semifinals of the King of the Ring tournament, which is technically was a house show back then in 1986, where Harley Race eventually beats Pedro in the finals to be the King of the Ring. But really, I mean, for TV purposes and stuff, kind of was kept pretty strong, especially since he was heading into a feud and a long feud with Hercules Hernandez. So that was one of those things where they're both using the full Nelson. They're both kind of looking strong. They both have that same body type, you know, both jacked individuals. Do you like Billy Jack and Hercules, the feud? And do you like keeping Billy Jack strong where maybe Vince can give him a bit of a push past the upper mid card?
Yeah, I like that. I mean, hold versus hold. They were built the same. Made a lot of sense.
He was kind of, I would say undefeated, but almost undefeated in his run there. He has a Intercontinental Championship match against Macho Man Randy Savage. He loses to Macho Man, but it's almost like you're losing to a top dog. It's not like you're losing anybody bad, but everybody else. I mean, he beats Bob Orton. He's having matches with Iron Sheik. I mean, he's just having all these matches where he's looking pretty strong. I mean, is that the ideal thing to do with somebody like him? It's like he's green per se. I mean, he's been around for a few years, but he's pretty green. Keep him undefeated, or is it okay to have him lose? I mean, no, lose to Macho Man, it's fine, but do you like having him not lose really to anybody else?
Well, I mean, they were trying to get baby faces lined up in case something happened to Hogan, you know, physically.
Yep.
And they were going to need more than one guy. So, yeah, I think they did the right thing.
They even had him team up with Davey Boy, and on MSG, they beat the Hart Foundation. So it's like, wow, they obviously think something of him, even in 87. Like, they're keeping him strong for a reason. They definitely like him, but the Hercules feud is still going on. Obviously, that leads to WrestleMania 3, and there's a double count out there. So, I mean, as far as WrestleMania 3 is concerned, if you look at it, they both kind of look strong, right? I mean, double count out after an 8-minute match, he still doesn't take a loss.
Yeah, I think they were just going along, listening to the people, too, because he was over.
Yep.
And you can use him to plug in any hole, too. You know what I mean? A guy goes down a tag team match, he can be awarded the belt and continue on like nothing happened. So... yeah.
It's so interesting because, like, he really didn't lose that much on TV. You would think that would be a guy like, you know, Hogan or Savage. I'm like, oh, he's not losing much on TV, but they kept him really strong. And even in tag matches, he would barely lose. So obviously Vince had some sort of ideas for him. He would lose to occasionally maybe to Butch Reed, who was maybe getting a little push, or Million Dollar Man Ted DiBiase when he came in. But he was beating Bundy and a bunch of other guys. So it just felt like, wow, they must like him or must see something in him and must see money in him to not really, you know, like job him out at all. It was very interesting the way he was booked in WWF and the way he talks about it. You would think that he hated his time there or should have hated his time there because he was booked so poorly. But he was booked strong for 2 years. Basically, he was booked strong.
Yeah. I mean, why not? He looked like $1 million. His work was solid. Wasn't extensive, you know, technical knowledge, but what he did was very, very solid. And he looked the part, and his interviews were pretty good. So why wouldn't you keep him strong?
When he leaves the WWF, it's kind of a controversial thing. He says he quit because he refused a job. And then another story is basically he refused the job, refused to do the match. They make him rework the match, do the job, and then fire him afterwards. Which version do you believe? Do you think that he quit, or do you think he was fired?
I see him quitting.
Very interesting. He, of course, sticks to that story, but he's changed the version of it different style. Sometimes it's I quit, I didn't want to do the match. Sometimes it's I didn't want a job. Sometimes it's I worked the match, I jobbed, and then I quit. Like, he always has kind of a different version of the match. It's interesting. Basically, it's him and Ken Patera. They were kind of teaming for a while. They lose to Demolition, and I don't know if he just didn't want to do any more jobs or what, but he quits and he leaves the business for basically a year and then shows up again in Portland in 89. But you never know with him, right? I mean, it's one of those things where it's all kind of question marks when you think about him.
Yeah. I mean, because of the stories he tells are so exaggerated sometimes.
Yep.
You can't put your finger on what's real and what's not.
Goes back to New Japan Pro Wrestling, still wrestling in Portland, then was working for Herb Abrams' UWF, obviously was a very interesting promotion. But then he ends up in WCW, and it kind of ends up in a stable with you. Why does he get brought into WCW, and what is this Black Blood gimmick? It's basically Billy Jack Haynes.
I had no idea what the gimmick was. Never figured it out. He came in... had an appointment with Dusty. Dusty had a fondness for him, and Dusty hired him.
What is Black Blood? What is that gimmick? Like, why?
Some kind of executioner. I don't know what that was about at all. I never could figure it out. Wore two masks, took one off, put it on the person he was going to beat. Then we dropped, you know, the big leg on him like a guillotine. I have no idea.
I never understood this because I'm just always confused. Because Black Blood, Billy Jack Haynes, on WWF for TV for 2 years. Everyone knows who he is. He has a huge name. He had the LJN, which makes them kind of an immortal. And he got to the Hercules with the Super Invaders under hood, to the Assassins, the Super Assassins, Warlord and Barbarian. Why famous WWF wrestlers that people know and have so much TV equity and so much TV time, why did WCW always feel the need to put them under a hood so people didn't know who they were? Very strange.
Yeah, I mean, but Billy, he came in with that persona. He came in with it, and that was what he wanted to be.
Very strange. I would always think that, hey, anybody from WWF, you know, let's get them on TV and get that name out there, because everyone knows who they are if they were in the WWF in the 80s. I mean, like, they're almost mainstream.
Yeah, but he didn't look like he did. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, he was shrunken a little bit. Yeah.
Yeah, and smooth. You know, smooth.
Pretty crazy. He kind of, you know, leaves wrestling for a while, does some indies, still kind of wrestles in the Portland area, ends up in the USWA of all places for Jared Lawler. In 95, he actually wins the USWA title. He's a part of a Smoky Mountain wrestling show. So, I mean, he was actually seemed like, wow, he was back in, you know, back in the business. He's heading in the right direction. Then all of a sudden in late 95, he's gone again from the business and doesn't wrestle ever again after that. Strange, right? I mean, do you know anything about why he came back and then why he basically retired in 96?
I have no idea. I mean, Billy's whole career is a mystery to me.
I think to a lot of people.
Yeah. Yeah.
Almost a little bit of like a what if or what could have been, because World Class gave him a little bit of push. You guys gave him a little bit of a push. Portland obviously gave him a little bit of push. WBF gave him a little bit of push. He got a little bit of push in Memphis. So it seemed like people liked him or interested in him, but almost hurt himself in a lot of ways.
Yeah, he just, you know, he would decide to leave with no notice and boom, he'd be gone.
What is your favorite Billy Jack Haynes rumor, like that, or story that he made up? Would it be the brother? Would it be the Austin thing?
I think the brother. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's so strange. Don't you think?
Yeah, because it can be so easily disproven, and like no one's ever said that ever. You know what I mean? It like came out of nowhere.
Right.
And the fact that he was the lead of that concussion lawsuit, that's obviously.
Yeah, that's another one. And this one came out and, you know, we hadn't heard anything from Billy Jack in a few years, right? For a while, yeah. It was all over the internet. I feel sorry for him. You know, I mean, something, you know, he wasn't right for a long time. Remember when he used to wear, was that a wig he was wearing for a while?
Yeah, yeah, yep.
Brown thing. Was yep. that a wig?
Yeah.
I mean, why was he wearing that?
I have no idea. Look, almost, I don't know, just looks so fake too, but it weird that he did that. Yeah. Remember he had a mullet, a long mullet at one point. Yeah. He had a very interesting looks.
Yeah. Somebody told me it was real.
Really? I thought it was fake. Wow.
I did too. But I mean, there were some guys that I know that are local wrestlers up in this area went to see him and they said it was real. They wanted to do a documentary and call it Searching for Billy Haynes.
Yeah.
So.
Crazy. Remember him and Hannibal had that big fight? Apparently it was all a work. Remember that?
Yeah.
It was like, yeah, that was wacky. Yep. Crazy. Yeah. When you look at Billy Jack, too, saying he was there for the Arkansas, the murders in 1987, even though he might have been elsewhere for the WWF at a house show. Like he's saying he's a hitman for the mafia, like all this stuff. He just like, I don't know. You don't quite know what to make of him. Is he serious? Is he crazy like a fox? Is he just crazy?
No, he's not crazy like a fox. He's a sick guy. He's a sick guy. He just, I believe he believes that he was there.
There actually is a shoot interview, if anybody could find it. I think Art Video did it years ago. It's basically like all his conspiracy theories, what he thinks. And I think he touches on like JFK, just random stuff, but just kind of an interesting look at his maybe fragile psyche. Just it's an interesting look at his mind.
Well, there's a lot of guys in and out inside the business that are into this conspiracy theory. Yeah, the conspiracies, of course, but not everything is a conspiracy, you know what I mean?
Yep. Yeah, when I interviewed him a few years ago, every time you'd ask him a question, it would go back to some other conspiracy or talking about drugs or talking about, he would always go back to like a strange answer too. I noticed that when I interviewed him a couple of years ago.
Yeah, because to come up, let me ask you this. Don't you think to come up with these crazy, like I'm the brother and all these other things, I was there with the Clintons, and everything that he's expounded on, don't you think he's gotta be, to say all this shit, you got to believe it. And I think it shows that he's been unbalanced for quite a while.
Yeah. Yep. Totally agree. And it's funny, I actually got a message from somebody from the Hightower when I interviewed him, and they're like, why the hell would you interview him? He, you know, he's nuts. Everything he says is bullshit. I said, well, it was almost like just an entertainment. And he actually wanted to come on, because I met him at a convention. He goes, oh, I want to do your show. So I was like, oh, sure. But it was almost more entertainment, because you knew that you weren't going to get legit real stories. You know what I mean? He wasn't going to be 100% honest with you. And I kind of knew that. It was more for the entertainment value of having him on.
Yeah. So he's, I guess he's in jail. He's not going to be out in a bond, is he?
No, not that's from what I heard.
Okay, so what are the steps? I mean, I think they'll give him a public defender, don't you?
Yeah, they'll have to.
Yeah, he's not going to get his own attorney. It's not going to end well for him.
Definitely not. Obviously, charged with murdering his wife, who's a bit older than him, by the way. He's 70. I think the wife was 85, if I remember reading that correctly.
Yeah.
So Jeanette Burcroft was about 85. Crazy, though. A lot older than him.
Yeah.
And they only got married a few years ago.
Wow. So.
But as far as Billy Jack, what do you think his legacy is? Do you think it is just going to be kind of almost all negatives?
Yeah, I mean, how can it not? Killing your wife? I mean, how can it not?
When you look back at Billy Jack, obviously he's going to be one of those guys that, you know, you clout everything he ever did in the business, even though success to a certain degree, but definitely everything is clouded. All the controversy, all the Arkansas story, the Steve Austin story, and then finally killing his wife. So, not a good headline there for wrestling, I'll tell you that much. Just not a good few weeks for pro wrestling as far as some negative headlines, that's for sure.
Yeah.
But let's hit the plugs. You follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Two Man Power Trip. Kevin, what do you got going on in this crazy world?
Well, it seems my friend that the old school has taken off, and she's starting to sell a lot of books. And somebody did a, you know, in-depth on it, and it said, it's Goodfellas meets WrestleMania. So that's interesting.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah, and that's what, you know, with all this wrestling hype right now, she's got a lot of hits behind it, so hopefully something transpires.
Nice. Love that. Love that book. Old school. Get it on Amazon. But thank you to Kevin. Thank you, everybody out there, for listening. We will see you right back here next time. Have a good one, folks. This has been a John Paz Power Trip production in conjunction with the Two Man Power Trip of Wrestling. You could follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Two Man Power Trip. You could check us out on Facebook. You could subscribe on YouTube. You can go to patreon.com/TMPTEmpire to become a patron, and also check out the website, TMPTEmpire.com, and buy a shirt at ProWrestlingTees.com. Two-man power trip, where the power lies, brother.
We love the 1980s wrestling era, when kayfabe was king and wrestling did whatever it took to protect the business. When all the territories dealt with the rise of the WWF and the NWA emerged as its greatest challenger. Imagine if there were an epic drama series based on that era, combining the corporate warfare and the family drama of Succession with the giant cast and epic storytelling of Game of Thrones. That day has come. Kings of the Ring is the first audio drama podcast based on wrestling.
Go back to your trailer, you hillbilly.
It's a fiction series about the 1980s wrestling wars and the sex, drugs, and muscles lifestyle of the 80s wrestler and the sacrifices they make for success. With guest voice acting appearances by Lainey Poffo.
I even have a good dropkick.
And AEW's RJ City.
I didn't really have that much to do.
Search Kings of the Ring from any podcast app or kingsotr.com and binge away.
College football fans, are you ready for week one? DraftKings Sportsbook is hooking you up with a can't-miss offer to start the season strong. This week, new customers can bet just $5 on college football and score $200 in bonus bets instantly. Anything can happen in college football. That's right. Your team could go from unranked to dynasty mode in just a couple of years. Change comes fast. The only thing that's a lock is great offers from the DraftKings Sportsbook. Life's more fun when you're in on the action. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use the code TASKMASTER, all lowercase. New customers can score $200 in bonus bets instantly when they bet just $5 on college football. Only DraftKings Sportsbook is the way to go, and use that promo code TASKMASTER, then the crown is yours. That's right. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app today and use that promo code TASKMASTER. Own it, live it, win the crown.
This contest is scheduled for one fall. In the ring to my left, from Portland, Oregon, weighing 246 pounds, Billy Jack Haynes. His opponent is managed by Beverly Hills' own Bobby the Brain Heenan. From Atlantic City, New Jersey, weighing 458 pounds, King Kong Bundy.
That is one huge individual, Bundy. King Kong Bundy.
Well, we're going to find out how strong Billy Jack Haynes is real quick.
We certainly will. Of course, there's always some consideration as to who is the stronger of the two, Billy Jack Haynes or Hercules, especially as it relates to the full Nelson. We may find out here as it relates to King Kong Bundy.
But Bundy's going to work fast here.
Look at that.
Wham!
Literally throwing the gun! Bundy messing with the avalanche. Bundy, of course, involved in a six-man matchup in WrestleMania. He and two midgets to square off against Hillbilly Jim and his two midgets. As a matter of fact, earlier on, we had an occasion to chat with Hillbilly Jim and company about the possibility of Bundy using the avalanche.
That King Kong Bundy's a big old critter. Whew! Why did he come scrushing on me?
Oh, me?
Fellas, don't y'all worry one little bit. I'm going to see that he don't do that.
I think legitimate concern there, don't you, Jesse, on the part of whether or not Bundy will attempt to squash one of those midgets in the six-man matchup.
I think there's definite concern. You know, if I was Bundy, I would.
What?
You're out there to win the match.
No. It's big man against big man. It'll be Bundy against Hillbilly, not any of the midgets.
Right, but if Bundy can sneak one in on one of the midgets and then have the other midget pin the midget.
Right now, Bundy is doing a pretty good job of throwing his weight around against Billy Jack Haynes. And Haynes, one of the toughest individuals you'll find anywhere.
It's a tremendous, tremendous matchup. I mean, this match here is main event anywhere in the world.
Billy Jack Haynes whipped to the corner. Here comes Bundy moving and he misses. From behind, there's a full Nelson.
Wow.
Billy Jack.
If he can make King Kong Bundy
submit. Look out from behind. Look at that. Heenan coming in. Interfering in the match. Leaping. Running away from Billy Jack Haynes. Billy Jack with a bead on Bobby the Brain Heenan.
You know, personally, I think Heenan was a little too...
Wait a minute. From behind. Look from behind there. Hercules. Hammering away.
Uh-oh.
On Billy Jack. Oh, no. What a triple team coming up.
Oh, yes.
Billy Jack Haynes. Oh, no.
Big clothesline. There's some damage going to be laid out here.
Down off the steps.
Haynes is lucky he fell out to the floor.
That'll go down as a victory in the book of Billy Jack Haynes.
You know, personally, Vince McMahon, I feel that Heenan was premature in jumping into that ring. I don't think he could have put Bundy out with it.
The winner of this contest, as a result of a disqualification, Billy Jack Haynes.
Billy Jack the victor. Because of Bobby the Brain Heenan's interference. And of course, we saw what happened when Hercules arrived on the scene. Let's go back now to the replay.
I think the replay shows the fear that the Weasel and Bundy have over this devastating full Nelson. Because look, as soon as he applied it, he wasted no time. Heenan did in coming in and hitting Billy Jack Haynes in the back. Now, he certainly had to know that this was going to have disqualification, but I think he was afraid that Bundy might have really given up from that full Nelson.